here for these months for a number of reasons. I would like to think that. But if we only came down here for the music this morning, it would be all worth it. The music has just been majestic and soul-stirring. Jane and I respect your pastor and his family, and thank God for the strategic leadership he's giving to Maranatha in this phase of your ministry. We thank you all for your commitment in bringing this ministry to this point. And I was trying to think of what I would call a day like this, and I know we're sort of halfway across the river, but I, in my mind, am calling this a new home homecoming day. A new home homecoming day. I know that you'll be here for a while, but we get to go to see it today, right? That's exciting. My, that's just great. You've invested time, money, and hard work, and I felt that what we should do today is just step back and be refreshed by yet another look at the one about whom all this is. We've just finished the third renovation program in 3 summers up where I've been for now going on 29 years. And up there we have a Christian school, and you only have the summer months to turn everything upside down and have it right for the first day of school. And so we know what it's like to work day after day, night after night, and get very, very tired. Nerves can get frayed, and the enemy is there to attack. And so I want to try to, with you today, just step back and look at Jesus, for whom all this is. The late nights, the paint spilled on the new jeans. the having to get up early to go to work the next morning. I want to encourage you. Let's just rejoice today, remembering about whom all of this is for. Let's just feast on the Savior today. Before I begin the message, I'll just mention we have 5 of the books back at the table. People have been so kind about the books. Both Dr. Comfort and Dr. Warren Wiersbe, formerly of Back to the Bible broadcast, in the case of both of them, the kind words, the endorsements were unsolicited. I didn't even know that somebody had sent Dr. Wiersbe a copy of the leadership book. Someone sent him the book. He wrote me and said some very, very kind things about the leadership book. And then there's the Joseph book back there, 38 sermons on Joseph. 2 families who were wounded. 2 families who came to us and began to drive many, many miles to come. They said that that series on Joseph kept them from dropping out of church completely. And frankly, they'd been in another independent Baptist church. And details are irrelevant at this point, but they were wounded and said, those Joseph sermons kept us from quitting altogether. And then the book on David is out there. It's about protecting your heart. Protecting your heart. And then the Trinity of Evil. The Trinity of Evil is an exhaustive treatment which defines the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The first thing we do is define each of them in detail. And then we look at defenses. Defenses against the Trinity of Evil. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's turn, please, to John 20. John chapter number 20. I'll be coming in at verse 19. John 20:19. Let's stand for the reading of God's inerrant, inspired word. Now help us, Lord, today. I can't do anything that's good without your help. The bad that I do is just me. So if it's going to be in any way helpful, it's got to be you. So please help us today. I pray for Christ's sake. John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas wanted to satisfy 2 of the 5 senses. He wanted to satisfy the sense of sight and the sense of touch. 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Please be seated. Jesus came to his disciples who were huddled in that locked room after his resurrection. He came to them. My text appears in 2 of the verses here in John 20. Note first John 20, verse 19, the 19th verse. Look at the first 3 quarters of verse 19 and temporarily, suspend all the words except the adverb, the verb, and the subject. What you have remaining are the words, Then came Jesus. Observe also verse 26. When you find the third phrase in the verse, you'll read the words, Then came Jesus. These words are the title of my message this morning. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus, and a humble little Jewish virgin asked, Who, me? And the angel Gabriel answered, Yes, Mary, you. Then came Jesus. And that same little Jewish virgin said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. When Jesus comes and says, I have a work for you to do. Humble folk, get happy. And Mary got happy, very happy. And some people have called Mary's happiness the Magnificat. Then came Jesus, and Joseph the carpenter said, But what will people think about this? And Gabriel said, Joseph, when you've got Jesus, it doesn't matter what people think. So Joseph was no longer afraid to take unto himself his espoused wife, even though she was already with child of the Holy Spirit. Then came Jesus, and his unborn cousin John leaped in his mother's womb. Don't you think it's time to get excited when Jesus enters the room? Little John the Baptist got excited when Jesus entered the room. I know far too many other Baptists who never get excited when Jesus enters the room. Jesus comes and they just yawn and look at the watch. And they say, oh, I hope this service will be over soon so I can get back to my sports. Jesus comes. And they don't get excited like little John the Baptist. They just yawn. Then came Jesus, and an angel said, don't be afraid, to a group of common, despised shepherds who were not used to hearing from an angel. Don't you rejoice that Jesus brings extraordinary joy to ordinary people, just like those shepherds and you and me. Then came Jesus, and that angel was joined by a multitude of seraphic warriors who delivered a singing telegram that had glory, peace, and goodwill as its theme. Wouldn't you like to have been there on that hillside? Wouldn't you like to have heard that choir that made Marian Anderson, Mary Alonso, the Vienna Boys Choir, and the three tenors sound like they need more practice? Wouldn't you like to have heard those angels? I like music, and I would like to have been there. Then came Jesus, and those despised shepherds were invited to their own private audience with the God of forever and the King of kings. Aren't you glad that God is no respecter of persons? Aren't you glad that he loves the smell of the stable as much as he loves the perfumes of Solomon's boudoirs? Aren't you glad he invited the shepherds and that sheep smell to come into his presence? Then came Jesus, and wise men traveled for close to 2 years so that they could come to him. He has always attracted wise men. Wise men and women like to be near him. Wisdom attracts wisdom. Are you wise enough to want to be close to Jesus? Are you close to him today? Has the job or the family issues, or even the weariness of the renovations, have all these things or any one of these things just sort of made you brittle and tired on God? Are you wise enough to realize that what you need again today is just to be near the Lord again? Then came Jesus, and the lawyers and doctors of the law scratched their heads and said, he can't be just 12. Impossible. But it was possible. He was 12 plus eternity. He had the answers for the doctors of the law. What about you this morning? You need some answers for your business, your family interactions. Jesus came to those doctors, and he had the answers. Let us come to the Lord today with our questions. It's not wrong to ask questions of the Lord. On the cross, he asked the question, why? Come to Jesus with your questions. There's a beautiful song that says, he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's called stooping. It ought to make us grateful. That's a long way to stoop. We heard about it in the music. He humbled himself. He stooped. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Oh, my sin. The things that contradict his holiness, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 reads, Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, didn't think it was his right to hold on to his equality with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then came Jesus, and some ordinary H2O said, I can't believe that the water of life came to this wedding. Why, I'm embarrassed to think that the water of life came to this wedding. Oh my, oh my. I'm just H2O, but I think I'm turning red. And it did. And the ruler of the feast said that it was the best grape juice he ever tasted. Can you tell? I'm a teetotaler. Do you ever blush like that water did when Jesus comes to you? Or have you gotten used to holiness? Have you gotten used to being in the presence of God? Have you lost your blushability in the presence of pure holiness? I'm just so weary and troubled about what I would call casual Christianity in Western culture. And at this point, I'll not deal with people showing up for what is called church looking like they're ready for the beach. I won't go further on that. What I'm talking about is a casual attitude and a casual spirit toward the Holy God and what we call church. Going to church ought to be different than going to a ball game. The water was miraculously turned into the best grape juice the host of the feast had ever, ever tasted. Then came Jesus and cast out the money mongers who had commercialized and trivialized the temple worship. Don't you wish he'd come again and do the same thing in this generation where if the rock beat sells, that's what we're going to use to fill our stadiums and our churches and call it worship. The record companies in Nashville will tell you they market it because it sells. Because Baptists buy it. It's money-mongering. I think that preachers and singers, all of us, ought to go for whatever the church thinks is appropriate. When we go to sing or to preach. They had turned the Lord's house into a den of thieves. Merchandising. Then came Jesus and told a member of the ruling religious body, you may know a miracle when you see it, but you don't know God until you've been born again. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Then came Jesus and told a Samaritan woman of ill repute, it's not where you worship, it's who you worship. And I am he. I'll fill more than your cup. I'll fill your bucket. And I'll keep on filling your bucket forever. And she ran back into town and told the people, including some men, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Jesus came to that woman of ill repute. Oh, then came Jesus. And a sick man said, I sure wish I had a man to put me in the pool of Bethesda when God's angel stirs it up so I could get well. And Jesus said, who needs a man when you've got God? I'll heal you. Get up and walk. Who wants to lie in bed for a lifetime when Jesus is around and wills to do something about your problem? Then came Jesus to a funeral and broke the whole thing up and turned it into a party. When Jews sang the Ave Nagila, they get about as happy as Dr. Scoville was this morning singing Zion's Hill. Wasn't that wonderful? Jesus came, and he gave that widow back her son. And the funeral was turned into a happy party because Jesus came. And you better know that nobody ever badmouthed Jesus again in her presence. I don't know if women in that time had purses, but if she had a purse and someone tried to badmouth Jesus, he'd feel it for the next 2 months. Smack across the head. Don't you badmouth Jesus. He gave me back my boy. Those are the kinds of things that happen when Jesus comes. Then came Jesus to a stormy sea. Galilee was on its worst behavior that time. And Jesus said, hush. Hush. You lie down. And the sea lay down with scarcely a whimper. And the disciples asked, what manner of man is this? And heaven replied, oh, this is Jesus. He made this sea. This sea is just doing what Jesus tells it to do. Oh, yes. Then came Jesus riding on a donkey. While the stones held their hands over their mouths to keep from shouting, Jesus, don't you believe this crowd of fickle, fair-weather fellows? Don't you believe these people, Jesus? They don't mean it. They're going to turn on you in a few hours. Let us cry out. Let us praise you. We won't turn on our Maker. Then came Jesus to an upper room and a towel and a basin and some water, some bread, some grape juice. He washed their feet. He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. Then came Jesus to wash the feet of sinners, just like me. I have to bathe my feet or they stink. God came to that. Then came Jesus to dip his hand in a dish of fellowship with a very unfriendly friend. Then came Jesus to a garden, the place of the olive press. And Jane and I have been there twice. And Jesus went there to be squeezed and pressed between God and Satan and heaven and hell and right and wrong and love and hate and grace and law. He came there to be squeezed and pressed. And when Jesus came out of that spiritual olive press, he was ready for the blood to flow like wine. Then came Jesus to Pilate's judgment hall. And Pilate asked, "Are you a king?" And the perfectly poised, perfectly in control, Jesus Christ said, "You're asking me if I'm a king? I'm the king who made you a governor. And which of the two of us do you think has the most authority?" Pilate scratched his head and wiped his sweat and washed his cowardly hands of God. Only problem is you can't wash your hands of God. He's there whether you want him to be or not. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Those who are born again at the Bema and those who are unsaved at the great white throne judgment. You can't wash your hands of God. Pilate tried to wash his hands of the only God who could save his soiled soul. Then came Jesus to Golgotha, the place he'd come for all along. Jesus came to that hill that looked like a skull and had turned so many men into skulls. And Jesus staggered up that hill, panting and heaving. Then Jesus voluntarily spread himself on that vicious and hard-hearted old cross. And men who laughed at the sight of blood made it flow. Blood, I mean. And there, because there is no forgiveness of our sins without the shedding of blood, Jesus died. Just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Then came Jesus to a cold, ugly tomb in a beautiful garden. But he didn't come there for long. Just 3 days and three nights. Just long enough to give the devil a false sense of security. On the morning of the third day, Jesus got up and walked out of that tomb and shattered the devil's false sense of security to smithereens, and left the devil cowering in a corner like a rat before a lion. The devil is a rat, and Jesus is Judah, King of Kings, King Jesus. Well, then came Jesus to Mary Magdalene, who did not want to let go of a risen master's feet. But Jesus said, "Woman, I'm glad for your gratitude, but let me go. I want to see my Father, and I've got a world to win." Then came Jesus and said, "Peace be unto you," to disciples. And that second time, with Thomas there. Then came Jesus and gave Thomas reason to believe. Aren't you glad that when we're tired from a building program or discouraged, that this same Jesus will come to us and give us in his word reason to believe? Don't absent yourself from the Bible when you're tired. Don't absent yourself from the Bible when you're weary in a building program. Aren't you glad that Jesus comes to us when we're tired and gives us every reason to believe? Then came Jesus to the Mount Olivet. And when he had blessed his little flock, the chief shepherd was caught up to heaven in a cloud. They watched him as long as they could see him, because he was the Jesus who had changed their lives. And they would never be the same. Then came the sound of the voices of two men dressed in white. And those two men dressed in white said, "What are you staring at? What are you staring at?" This very same Jesus who came the first time will come a second time. He will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Oh, yes. Then came Jesus. And I'm so glad he did. There wouldn't be a Maranatha Baptist Church if he had not come. Then came Jesus, changing forever world history, art, sculpture, literature, music, science, and architecture. Then came Jesus, changing cannibals into Christian counselors and harlots into saints. Then came Jesus, changing criminals and drug addicts into law-abiding citizens. Aren't we glad that Jesus came? Many years ago, Oswald J. Smith of the People's Church Toronto said, "One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay." Oh, Maranatha, maybe you're tired, Maranatha, but look up, look up. He came. He's going to strengthen you for the rest of the renovations. Let us rejoice on this homecoming day that Jesus came. Let's stand, please. It may be that you